You are listening to the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
This is 1 hour of fun from the show this morning.
Don't worry, you can still catch the entire show on your favorite podcast app.
And you can watch the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba on Blaze TV.
Enjoy the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
It is 7.5 minutes past the hour, coming to you from the No Name Studio on the bleeding edge of technology, from Sweet Home, Alabama to the world. Speedy, the real Greg Burgess, and Helmsy have already given you a kickoff hour on all the Rick and Bubba platforms. The big boy statue standing here in the No Name Studio with his reassuring eyes and his smile saying, look, everything gonna be all right. Eddie Van Adler gives you the YouTube experience. He settles into his booth, gets his mic ready for more brilliant commentary today and showing you what it looks like. If you enjoy sausage, Adler will show you how it's made. So you can watch it on our YouTube channel. Just subscribe there. You get alerts anytime something new is happening there, including the live show every day. All we are missing is a silver tongue one. The man with a golden voice, professional lunch eater's man of the year, the inventor of pizza in a cup, Shakespeare's worst nightmare, and the master of the King's English. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Bill Bubba Bussey! Howdy, Bubba.
How about it, Rick Burgess? Friends, neighbors, associates, everywhere. Come on in.
By a few old friends, and I'm still here. There ain't much left to see, no.
Everybody say it.
Well, I'm still holding on, but there ain't much left of me.
There ain't much left of us, but we're here.
That's so true.
Oh, that song resonates.
Oh, doesn't it?
Mm. Been knocked down, drug out, and left for dead.
Held together by a few old threads.
Yep. Ain't much left to see. All right, so we'll unpack another one.
Sometimes there's lyrics that just really hit home.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
It's kind of like Zach Tyson and Redneck Christmas.
Exactly. Or even White Trash.
White Trash Christmas.
But I knew exactly what you meant.
But talking about a Redneck Christmas, White Trash Christmas.
Yeah, really. That's what we would call it. So anyway.
There's a difference.
We'll look back over a very, by the
way. I knew it was wrong when I said it.
I know. That's all right. You know what? You were so close. You get half credit. If I was grading you paper, it wouldn't be completely red, just be a little note I'd make.
Off to the side.
I'm giving you partial credit here.
We'll take it.
Look, I made a living off partial credit. That's what I got out of school.
I'll take 6 out of 10 anytime.
You couldn't beat me on a discussion question because I could remember a few key words.
Yeah.
Throw that in there with a little just ramble. Mm-hmm. Get a partial credit or two. You're out. You pass.
Yeah. You know, getting the kids through high school, I would tell them, look, go to the teacher and do this, that, and the other. And at one point, Terry looked to see, how do you know what to tell him?
Oh,
that's how I got through high school.
Yeah. Many people said to you, Speedy, probably to you, Bubba, to all of us in here, you know, if you just work this hard at what we're requiring of you, as hard as you work to get around it, you'd be fine. And I said, well, you know, everybody has their skill set. There's talent to this, too.
Yeah.
So I hate
to say it, but there is.
There really is. And I hate to say this more. It probably has served me more in real life than any of the other did. Let's unpack a weekend. I know the kickoff hour, they've unpacked a few stories. We'll also look at stories that developed while we were away that are ongoing stories. Apparently, the president has got classified documents laying everywhere. More were found over the weekend. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And what was funny is today I was – you know how – Bubba, you and I have learned this over the years because we all – when we grew up, see, everybody making fun of you – and laughing at yourself was actually part of life. People didn't protect you from that. And of course, when I got out.
You might as well laugh at yourself.
I found in the real world, again, back to real world, that's probably good to have that skill to be able to cope with that a little bit.
Yep.
And so yesterday after church, Sherry and I, she said,
we're going to today to get you some new jeans. Okay, you. What's happened? It's like when you
not went, Gene Day what for you, Chubby
what,
Boy.
What you went through.
Yeah.
And so, and we did that, and you know, I can get into that another more. But so today I got up and I have a new pair of jeans and a new shirt. And so I was over there and I said, Sherry was up, you know, because she's been getting up with me this year.
How's that going?
Good, real good. Yeah, it's going real good. And so so she said, I said, I don't know about this today. And she said, what are you talking about? You don't want to wear your new jeans and your new shirt? I said, well, Greg's going to make fun of me.
Yeah.
And she said, are you serious?
No, Greg, clothes.
Greg, here's what you're going to love. She goes, I said, I even know what some he'll pick from. And she goes, you know Greg so well, you know even what he's – I said, yeah. I said, first of all, there'll be something revolving first day of school, picture day. And then I said, look, Greg, I'm over it. I'm fixing my field of greens. And I said, and he could go with the song. She said, the song. I said, oh, yeah, Ricky's got his new jeans on.
Lord have mercy.
Greg, and she goes, what? I said, Ricky's got his new jeans.
And
new
it starts
jeans,
off like jeans. Dump, 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 dump,
dump. And she goes, you already know what song he's going to sing and what, and some one-liners he's going to throw out. I said, yeah. I said, so if I can get through that, I can probably enjoy this today. So, Greg, I want you to know that Ricky's got his new jeans on.
You do.
It's picture day at school, or it's the first day
it's
of school.
It's a little early for spring pictures, but you're ready.
I like your tactics
here. Get it out
here.
With.
Hey, yeah,
Ricky's got his new jeans. Ricky got a new jeans on.
Take it from him.
Greg, you should have seen her face. She goes, I said, it's going to go something like that. I said, I'm not.
You covered all the
I don't have the specifics, but it's going to come out of that.
It's in that area.
Absolutely. Lord have mercy. Ricky got his new jeans on.
Yeah, yeah.
Sing of the rest of the day now.
Yes. So. Lock tight britches running folks in ditches.
That's exactly what I was talking about. Of course, then she asked me an uncomfortable question if you got our gift to Chandler to the shower, but I hope that happened.
You get, he's looking around.
I don't know that I'd buy into that.
He looked left.
I'm pretty
left,
confident
right.
that I did.
I was asked the direct question, and here's all I said. I said, Sherry, here's what I can say. Because Sherry and I were in Atlanta, and we missed the baby shower. But we talked about this, and I said, Sherry, this is all I can say. I came to work with Chandler's gift for the new sweet baby. I know that Greg said he left the office with it. That's all I can say.
I got it.
After that, I can't say anything
else. I got it there.
Okay, good.
I've
seen that look,
Greg. I have too.
I just hope I put it in the right place.
I'm concerned about this look.
Greg, but she should have got it at the shower Saturday.
Well, no, but I brought it to the house.
You're right.
Well, I don't know what they got at the shower.
You never. You don't recall seeing it?
Okay. No, I wasn't allowed to the shower.
Oh, that's right. You weren't there. That's right.
Well, I was when it was over, but
I know. I see what you're saying.
I know what you're
saying. Did you walk in with a gift and say, Dear Lisa, this is for Chandler?
She went home, but I just left it and she found it.
Very good.
But you found it. She found it? Are you sure?
Greg,
it even. Put it on the table.
It even said sweet little Mary Hollis on it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's beautiful. I remember everything about it. I promise. Well, look, I promise I got it.
Greg, since I was in that thing that we've discussed, and I know, and it'll be one of the things we'll discuss today too, I know it makes no sense, especially the cost of fuel and all that. I honestly think that we would be better, Sherry and me, if we met wherever we went. I'll see you in Atlanta.
Yeah,
and I took my car. She took hers.
Amen.
right. I know that makes no sense.
I know what you're saying.
I know that
about.
Makes no sense.
Right.
We'll be right back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
So let's talk about something that your pet actually needs. I mean, some of this stuff, when it comes to their diet, that actually is extremely important. And a lot of the pet foods that are out there, nutritionally, you know, it's kind of like in our world, if you've ever tried to do a little better and you sit down with a nutritionist or somebody who understands nutrition, they'll go, well, I understand why you eat that because it tastes good and it's fun, but there is no nutritional value to it. Well, a lot of times pet food's that way. It tastes good and they like the taste of it, but the way that dog food especially is made, the nutrients a lot of times are no longer present in the food. So to help them, really it's very similar to what you hear us talk about on the program about Field of Greens for human beings. It gets you the proper diet. Paul Made products do the same thing. The longevity formula boosts nutrient intake, protects against toxins, and guards against premature aging. And you're going to see the difference in the energy of your dog, the way they bounce around. It's almost like a light switch gets flipped on because their body, just like with us, in order to operate correctly, needs the right fuel. So longevity formula does that from Palmade because aside from the poor diet, these toxins like pesticides, mold, and other things can also harm your dog's health. So the longevity formula contains special toxic fighting nutrients that will protect your dog so they can be happy and they can stay with you a long time. And you know, to maximize their potential and their lifespan. So if you'd like to find out more, we got an offer that you can't really turn down because we're going to get you something for free too. So with every purchase of this longevity formula from Palmade, PAWMADE, you're going to get a free bottle of Palmade's hip and joint formula. Some of the breeds really struggle with their hip and joint, as you know, and this will help. So to claim your offer, go to Palmade, P-A-W-M-A-D-E, Palmade.com/Bubba. That's Palmade.com/Bubba. So the guys gave you an update on the NFL. We are down to the AFC and NFC championships now, and it'll be Chiefs taking on the Bengals, and it will be the Niners taking on the Eagles. The two winners will make up our Super Bowl, which will be 2 weeks from then. So that we know, but this thing with Tom Brady, and of course the Buccaneers did not have a great season, but I saw, you know, now when you have all this social media stuff and it's constantly trying to get you to watch stuff, you don't even choose who you follow is almost irrelevant. Because you'll see there's but people they want you now as opposed to you being able to say this is all I want to see. They're always throwing stuff at you. And one of the things I kept seeing was, what is Tom Brady doing? This video kept coming out. What is Tom Brady doing? And I didn't know what they were talking about, but we're looking at it right now. So in their game against the Cowboys, he does, it's even a horrible attempt to trip somebody. Yeah.
He tries to slide in.
Right.
And the play, for the most part, went unnoticed.
Mm-hmm.
But now Brady is going to be fined for a slide tackle attempt during the playoff loss, it looks like.
Well, which it's like a trip, almost like a slide kick.
Yeah, it's not very
well.
Cost him a little bit.
Yeah.
How much? He's sliding in the second.
I did too. How much are they going to fine him?
Let's see. I don't see it here.
But so he's going to be fined for this attempted trip.
$16,444. What an odd amount
for a little slide.
That is.
Yeah, how'd they come to that number?
Right.
Why not 442?
Right. I don't know. So Brady, the season is over. It was not a great season.
He's a free agent now.
Yeah. Well, not just from marriage, but also from a team.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
So he's completely he's unencumbered now, professionally or personally.
Yeah. Right. So Brady did not have a good year. I retired. No, I didn't retire. I lost my marriage to my wife. And then they go, 500 for the year or something like that?
But didn't he have some pretty good numbers, though? Didn't he set a record for completions or something?
Yeah, I think
he broke
personally,
his own record.
He did okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Which is still incredible,
sure,
his age to be doing what he's doing.
It is.
But will he stay in Tampa? Will he take the show on the road? You know, he appears to enjoy as much unknown as Aaron Rodgers does.
He's going back to New England.
Yeah. What if all of a sudden?
I bet they take him.
Yeah. What if Brady went to the Packers and Rodgers went to the Buccaneers?
Wouldn't that be funny?
Well, you know, the Titans have got a decision to make for their quarterback. The Raiders, he could return with Josh McDaniels. That's being the top rumor. And then the 49ers with Purdy, do they keep rolling with him, or they got a decision to make?
Because their starter is going to be available the next game, but he will not be starting.
Jimmy G?
I wouldn't change.
They said I think they said he will be available as the backup if needed.
Yeah.
So
who knows?
You know, usually you don't lose your position.
Well, don't forget
with an injury, but I'm gonna tell you, Purdy has come in.
Well, Trey Lance was your starter, and then he got hurt.
Well, mm-hmm.
Remember they put and then so he's really their number one guy. Whenever
I've never heard that name. I don't know who that is.
Yeah, he came first round pick out of North Dakota State. What 3 years?
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Okay, yeah.
Y'all, he's gonna be, Brady's gonna be 46. Just so you know.
All right, so you have a team. Here's the
he's
problem
be next year.
If Brady decides to play again, and he could say he's not going to, and then still play. But
until we kick it off, we really don't.
No, he could retire and still come back.
Right.
You never know.
And like I said, this time he may be willing to give his kids up for it.
Right.
But anyway, if you're a team, you can't be a bad team because he doesn't have that kind of time.
That's right. Right.
You have to be a team that he is that one. He's that one missing link you would need to take that next step.
And if I was him, I would go with someone who has a really good offensive line.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, but to y'all's point, they're ready to win right now, and they only need him for about a year.
Right.
You know, and –
And you it was when he went to
and town. You got a pretty good backup that he can mentor a little bit.
The way it was when Peyton Manning went with the Broncos. That's what he's looking for.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
what he's got to have.
Right. Yeah.
So where is that?
I want to. Well,
and plus, would you take it?
I don't want.
What were you going to say? Hems, go ahead.
Don't say it.
Speak freely.
I was actually going to say the Dolphins.
Okay.
Yeah, because they had a good year, except if they couldn't keep the quarterback healthy.
Yeah.
Even their backup.
I didn't want to do that to Greenwood, though.
I know. But no, listen.
That was the main reason I didn't want to mention
that. Because they don't know if Tua's coming back or not.
No, they don't. That's another reason.
With the concussions.
Well, let me just say this, and I don't want anybody to hear it wrong. When I say this, this is not an indictment on toughness. But there's just some people in this game of football, and you really can't explain it. They're just prone to injury.
Jim McMahon was that way.
Yeah, and I can't explain it.
Joe Namath, to some degree.
I'm not saying they're not tough people. That has nothing to do with it.
Or great
bad
players.
Bad luck or the way you build. I don't know.
And they're legitimately injured. They're not
bad injuries.
They're not being soft and refusing to play through a hurt. Yeah. They're injured. And they get injured all the time. And then there's some people that don't hardly ever get injured at all.
I know. It's
and it's an odd thing. And it's really hard to explain. But Tua Tagovailoa, you know, seems to be a good young man of character. Seems to be
was having a great year.
Seems to be really talented, and certainly can play at this level and do well. He just gets hurt all the time.
Yeah, and now you're dealing with concussions.
Now you're dealing with concussions, and he got hurt when he was at Alabama a lot.
Ankle.
Yeah. So it's I can't explain it, but it just this has been around in football for as long as there's been football.
Right.
These people that just seem to get hurt all the time. I'm talking about some great players
that
were prone to injury. So I don't know. I don't know how that's going to operate, but I think, Helms, you actually throw out a pretty good scenario for that reason. He buys you a little time with Tua, and maybe he can step in and say, won't y'all go ahead and have a run in my last season or two. I'm not sure he has two left in him, but and he may not have any. Honestly, Tom Brady, age may have finally caught up to him, and he just can't continue to play this game and what it requires. He's already made it clear he doesn't do the preseason stuff anymore. he'll show up when the season's getting ready to start.
Yeah,
he's not going to be in all that.
No,
the preseason where it gets. I'm not saying he doesn't work it in the offseason on his game.
Need to use up his
but he's not going to use up the physical stuff on preseason games and things like that, and the preseason live drills and all that. He's not doing all that.
Yeah,
and frankly, he's earned the right not to.
Yeah, I believe he's pretty much ready.
I think he can be prepared. but anyway, I don't know. Maybe
the Giants are another one that sticks out to me because I feel like that's one of their missing pieces. Mm-hmm. And they're close. They're there. Yeah. I mean,
their quarterbacks are doing good this year.
Well, this last game.
I know.
Did he go? Did the Eagles have a lot to do with that, or he just?
I think so.
But he's been up and down. That's the thing.
There's some inconsistency there.
Yeah. So, and you have that with younger guys, you know, until they get settled. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
There's an article out. Of course, everybody has got their opinion, but the top teams for Brady to go to were, it says, the Raiders, the Titans, the Patriots, the 49ers, back to Tampa Bay, or the Detroit Lions, or the Dolphins.
Mm. Who thinks he should retire? I do.
I think he's done.
Now, do I think he will retire?
No,
I do not.
I think he
don't want to go out like this, and he's still playing at a high enough level, and he doesn't have anything to go home to. So.
Right. I'm not sure Tom Brady, you know, is the kind of man that lets people speak into his life, but if he did, and I happen to be that guy, I would say, I think you need to retire. I think you're done.
You got more rings than you do fingers.
Right.
What are you proving?
I think if he loves it, and he just wants to stay in the game. If he's 70% Tom Brady, that's still better than most of the other guys. Yeah. So I say play on, Tom.
Well, my concern, and I guess they can protect him. He just looks a little frail back there.
He looks a little frail back there,
and these are some really bad, mean people out there. You know, I'm trying to keep him out of traction.
Yeah.
You know?
To play this long and have the health you have.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's not even a building now. I'm just like, how much longer can you? It's like the guy keeps jumping the ramps and keeps adding a bus. I'm like, I don't know. You've made a lot of safe jumps. We'll be right back.
Rick.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
The Rick and Bubba Show, thank you for being with us. So, finishing up, which was a great weekend. So I told you that Big Love doesn't live that far from Stone Mountain. So one of the things we're going to do, anytime we come to visit, he'll go, hey, y'all want to go do something in Atlanta? And I said, well, look with this. And he's saying, you know, Sherry loves a hike. And, you know, a couple of things have happened that have helped me on these hikes. One is when I nearly fell to my death. So that got rid of that trail.
Right.
You know, that right. I have a foot that doesn't work. So that's got me out of some trails that in the past I would have had to try to overcome. Well, you know, the word Stone Mountain has two words. One is stone, and then there's the bad one, mountain. And so they have a trail that we get there, and, you know, Big Love has been like, you know, I've been trying to make my way and land on my feet and, you know, my workout regimen, you know, I put a little weight on. I'm trying to drop some back off. And at one time he was working out, you know, almost every day and running. He's like, you know, I hadn't done that. So I don't know about going up this mountain. I said, well,
I said,
you know, and this is when we were having lunch. I said, here's the thing, buddy. I said, your mama, we're going to the mountain. Okay. And she's been hyped about this hike. And so we get there and, you know, you want everybody needs to hit the potty at the bottom of the mountain. And Sherry goes, oh, let's do that walk up trail. It says the, you know, you can hike up the mountain. Mm. And of course, up, you know, me now married for 27 years to this wonderful human being and knowing her pretty well, I don't even fight it. Hey, that sounds great. And Big Love looks at me like, Dad, who are you? I said, no, this is 58-year-old low maintenance dad. This is dad that, I mean, I don't die on every hill anymore. And plus I know some things. So she runs to the restroom, and I said, hey, buddy, don't panic. He said, Dad, we going up this mountain?
Oh, boy.
I said, don't panic. I said, we're holding a trump card here. I said, I'm going to hold an ace for us. Nobody panic. And he said, Dad, she's going to want to walk up you walk up that mountain. I said, nah, we'll never get there, buddy.
Never.
And he said, why? You said, we'll get too tired. I said, oh, no, she could walk from here back to Birmingham. She's amazing. I mean, there's no stopping her as far as her getting tired. And I said, she's afraid of heights.
Oh,
that's right, Dad. I said, not terrified. I said, so when you're hurting, let me know. And I said, because I'll probably be hurting around then too. I said, I'm going to attempt to go over to one of the lookoffs to see Atlanta. And your mom is going to panic and is going to say, we got to get off this mountain and we'll be down. So just let me know. And he goes, Dad, I said, I'm just telling you. I said, because Sherry's terrified of heights. She's okay as long as she doesn't see the cliff.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
It's the trust me talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, trust
me. I said, nobody panic. So we start up the mountain, you know, and she's like, and you walk up. That's one of the places there you can look off. I'm actually walking over here where we're sitting.
Uh-huh.
There's a trail up here, and we're walking all the way up.
What if you stump your toe and start rolling? What happens?
Well, you're not.
I haven't been to Stone Mountain since I was a little bitty kid. Rock.
Yeah, you're not that close. I mean, it's really, you'd have to really be stupid to fall off of it because, of course, people are pretty stupid.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we're going.
Isn't it wild? I mean, it's just sticking out there by itself. Isn't it?
Yeah, we go, and Bigelow's like, whew. And I said, too soon. We ain't high enough. We ain't high enough.
Let's see it again, Eddie.
Stay with me. Okay. So we're walking and we're walking and we're walking. And all of a sudden, I have to look for cues from how committed to this she is. Well, you start walking and walking up, and then you can see where it gets really steep. And they even have a handrail for you to walk up. And in the beginning, you got to come up a little bit in the beginning, but it levels out a little bit. So don't panic in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And
So
all of a sudden he sees that off in the distance, and he gives me the look, and I said, we'll never see that, buddy. He's like, Dad, I said, we'll never see it. Don't even act like you're gonna be on that rail, because we ain't anywhere near that rail. Because before that rail, there's lookoffs, and that's where we went. And so we're going up and we're going up and people are coming down. And
how heavy is the breathing?
It's not awful, because like I say, I've been trying to do a little better, so I'm really okay. Okay, Big Love's struggling a little bit, but what makes you feel bad on these kind of things is when coming back down the mountain, you see the elderly, you know, with a stick. You see like kids,
right.
And you're like, if they made it, it really. I mean, you're kind of a. Let me tell you something. I saw some biggins trucking that thing. Some biggins. In front of me at one time, there was a really biggin. And let me tell you something.
You ever seen when a biggin's in front of you and that big old rear end's eating him sweatpants? I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, it almost looks like a, it almost like one of them big Muppets with the big mouse.
And so I was hungry.
So I finally got the signal, and we were almost to the steepest part. And I said, so she was up ahead of us. I looked at him. I said, "Here we go." And I said, "Hey, I'm gonna walk over here." "No, no, 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 don't go over there." And I said, "Well, I'm just gonna go over here." "No, nobody go. Don't go near that." And I said, "Well, I just want to go." And all of a sudden, she sits down. "Oh, everybody sit down. I gotta sit down." And I looked at Big Love. He looked at me. He goes, "You are something."
Done.
What a brilliant father to terrify
so
his wife to get
to
us off.
Sit down.
Everybody sit down. Everybody sit down. Everybody sit down.
So he's calm.
And I said, "Well, listen. I'm ready. I think
I bet that view was killer."
I said, "I think I can make it." I said, "I'm really good." No. I think we're good. I think we're good. I don't think I can go up anymore." I said, "Okay, well, I mean, I don't want you to be upset about this.
Yeah.
If you're ready for us to go down and
don't go one too many,
yeah, and drop Big Love off his apartment, head back to Birmingham, I am good with that." And I said, "So, let's just." And she goes,
"How far is that from downtown?"
"Oh, from downtown?
Yeah. Well, the view. How far are you seeing that?"
I really don't know. I have no idea.
Pretty.
I would say probably maybe 20 minutes. North of Atlanta, maybe, something like that.
Have you ever seen a son so proud of their dad?
Yeah.
When Brooks looked at
him? It's like when we walked down and we were coming back down the mountain, and I was talking about how much I respected that, and I didn't want us to do anything that would make her uncomfortable. And as we're walking down, Big Love looked at me like he could. It's almost like he could sense that he needed to learn right now. You know what I mean? It's like he looked into the grayness of my beard, the one that looks like my nose is running.
Yeah.
And it's like he looked into that weathered face and that graying and salt and pepper beard and said, "There's wisdom in there." And what I've seen today, I without me even saying it, he knew I need to learn. Right. And I felt like that, you know, Mom did her part.
Okay.
And Dad did his. And I think we
You read the room pretty good.
We leave there
with
you know, Mom okay with the apartment, made a few adjustments. She did what she does well.
Yeah.
I've kind of imparted some wisdom, you know, on how to keep your wife from dragging you up on a hike you don't want to go on without ever seeming like you did it. I left there proud.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, top of the hour.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
So, Bubba, let's jump into the ever-changing President Biden story.
Where'd he go? He's hiding in the basement. Does anybody know Basement Joe?
Well, the Justice Department found more classified items in the Biden home. So it looks like the FBI did finally go and search the private home, and they found even more classified documents.
Rick, this is getting weird, okay?
It is.
Even for us, look, I'm no fan of Joe Biden, okay? But it's just weird how they just keep – this timeline keeps going. I mean, it's almost like somebody is going to his house, sprinkling them out, and then calling the DOJ to go look for them, you know?
Right.
Which, again, I think this is an inside job. I think the Democrats are doing it.
Right.
Because Kevin McCarthy can't walk into Joe Biden's house. Somebody would recognize him. You know, somebody who's in there all the time is doing that.
Yeah.
Well, in the story we have, the White House lawyers requested the FBI search, according to what they say, that uncovered more documents. It was a 13-hour FBI search of his home.
But why would they request that when they've already found documents in the garage? And if they found them in the garage, wouldn't they look at the house too? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
It seems kind of odd. I'm not following why they keep going back looking for more.
Yeah, and
this wasn't an FBI raid, right? I mean, they didn't show up the first thing in the morning with guns drawn.
It was consensual. The search was
no.
So Biden said on Thursday. Remember, we talked about this. He had no regrets.
Yeah,
about not publicly disclosing before the midterms. I bet he doesn't have any regrets because it might have cost.
Yeah,
it might have cost the Democrats if he had. So I wouldn't have any regrets either if I helped out my party by hiding something.
Governor Newsom.
I bet you don't regret it.
Look at Governor Newsom standing behind him. Do you think he was cramming documents in his coat?
Possibly
when Joe wasn't looking.
He says there's no there, so I guess he means that all these documents we're finding that are classified in his private residence.
That could have been there, Rick, like 8 years, at least 6 years. Mm.
And he's the one that said that when Trump did it, that it was irresponsible.
No,
grotesquely irresponsible, and by golly, something needs to be done.
Boy, has that clip come back to bite him?
Well, it is. So
I don't know if you saw any of the Democrats on the Sunday shows. I've seen a few clips from it. Every time they get asked about it, they just go, you know, he's commented on that, so we'll have to let that stand. They're turning on him.
No question. You're right.
They're turning on
him.
And I really do think it's an inside job.
Well, it's that terrible feeling.
Look at Newsom. He's smiling. He knows the more he talks, the closer he gets to be the nominee.
Well, it's one of those terrible things, and that is when you realize and you look around and you think, okay, those who've been protecting me are no longer protecting me.
You know what he's thinking? That's my job.
You know, when I first saw that, I thought, why is Steve Hines standing behind the president?
Oh, he appreciates that.
But Steve, I'm sorry.
No, it just looked alike. That's they surely wouldn't share
well,
the
with
same.
Well, with the cap on.
That's non-filter,
right,
Rick.
Right, yeah, that's it. So we know that Biden now has no one protecting him. Because
they're running from him.
They're absolutely now building a case on why he cannot be a candidate, because they don't want him as a candidate either.
The polling numbers are not good. No. It looks like, and again, it depends on what poll you want to look at and quote, but it looks like that he would lose to Donald Trump or he would lose to DeSantis, either one, right now.
Yeah, so they know he's a bad candidate, and as we've already said, and I'm sure there's others saying the same thing, they also get a double play. They can come back and say, well, we weren't inconsistent. We want to hold Donald Trump to the same standard we held Biden to. They both need to be. They both cannot be candidates.
Well, that's the only play you got. And you know what? I'm good with that. Let's set up a criteria like we've talked about, presidents playing golf or whatever, and hold everybody to the same level. I mean, that's all you can really ask for, right?
Well, it's almost like you're in some tournament somewhere and you're playing some sporting event, and something happens with the board ruling over the tournament, and the end result is that I have to get rid of a player that was never going to play anyway, but you have to get rid of your best player.
Right.
You know, and I'm sitting there going, I'll agree to that.
Mm-hmm. But there is a
difference.
We both
got to lose a player. And this is the player I lose. I'm in.
Yeah. But there is a difference in this. The president, and we've looked at this, read about it, researched it. The president can declassify anything by himself. It doesn't have to go to committee. Mm-hmm. He can declassify it. That's one of the beauties of being the president. The VP cannot. A senator cannot. So Joe Biden has really more liability in this than Trump did.
Right.
If you want to look at it
from nobody's that standpoint. Good luck trying to make that narrative.
Well, I know, yeah, but yeah. I mean, that's the truth.
They're going to come back and say it's apples and apples and they both got to go. Now, it's not, but that what you're talking about requires too much explanation.
Well, they haven't got to that point with Joe yet. They keep just seeding documents everywhere. Right, hey, FBI, you might need to go look in the back room.
So if you're a Biden supporter, you have to make a decision. Do you agree that classified documents at private residences are bad and those who did it should be held accountable, or you think only Trump should? So you have to make that decision, and that's the position that you've been put in, and I think your own party is glad you're in this position because it's a way to get rid of Biden and maybe can get rid of Trump at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, Biden, he could come out of this looking good if he would just say he's not going to run, that he's done his thing, and, you know, he stopped Trump. And I mean, I'm just looking at it from his standpoint, the way he'd want to spin it, and that he's, he's getting up in age and he wants to go spend time with the grandkids and not run. And he could probably come out looking pretty good on that, I would think.
Well, we have 1A. If you would like 2 minutes of lunacy.
Yeah, I want to hear this. I saw that.
This is Biden and Kamala Harris. They look back on their first 2 years, and they're about to give us a review of themselves that it's been awesome. So here we go.
All right.
Okay.
Hey, team.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
Good.
What do you think? I think we're off to a pretty good start.
I think we're off to a great start. I mean,
hard to believe it's 2 years, huh?
Well, just remember where we started and all that was happening in our country. And I think the thing that has motivated us is the resilience, the determination of the American people.
Yeah, they stuck with us. I mean,
I wish people could see what I see sometimes.
I do too.
I've been in the Oval Office with you when the cameras are there, and mostly when the cameras are not. And what you have singularly done based on who you are, and I mean this in all sincerity, to bring together nations, allies in the world, and you bring folks together in a bipartisan way, uniquely.
Well, you're very
gracious. You've been an incredible leader these last 2 years.
I really think, as you've heard me say, foreign leaders, there's never been a good bet to bet against America.
Yeah.
We created almost 11 million jobs, 750,000 manufacturing jobs.
Oh, think about that, and on top of capping the cost of insulin at $35 a month, what we've done, we have created more small businesses in the last 2 year span than any 2 year span in history.
I feel good. And look, we're in a situation as well where we've kind of united the world in a way it hadn't been for a while. And I think people are starting to realize that what you and I have been saying, there's not a damn thing we can't do if, in fact, we do it together. More African Americans have health care.
How about reality?
Employed in a decent job.
And how about the fact that there is now a name that the world knows, and the name is Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson?
And more appellate court female judges are black than all other presidents in American history.
Yeah.
I feel good about where we are.
It's groundbreaking. We've
got a lot more to do.
We got momentum.
I don't even. I don't even know what to say.
He's so proud of that justice. He couldn't even say her name.
Well, he just bragged about making his judicial nominations based on quotas, not quality of
That's
the justices. Excellence.
Right.
We're doing so good.
And those numbers, by the way, they went back and started counting from the pandemic. That's why it looks like it's a plus.
Wow.
They're playing with the numbers, guys.
We'll be back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
So we let the president and vice president tell us how great they've done the last 2 years. Like Bubba said, playing with some of the numbers there. I know some numbers they left out. Interest rates they left out. Recession they left out. A lot of, the classified documents being at the vice president's homes, they left that out.
The home starts that have ground to a halt.
Right, and all the different stuff. And as you said, celebrating, giving someone a position solely based on their ethnicity as opposed to letting everyone stand on their own merit, regardless of their ethnicity, which somehow the left doesn't think you can achieve diversity by sticking with excellence and high standards, which really is bigoted in and of itself to have that attitude.
He's the president. Surely he sees how poorly that looks when he says that. I mean, why can't he say that he has picked justices that are excellent and qualified, and more access has been given to groups that didn't have that in the past? I mean, he just flat out said, look, we put people of color in there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the way he said it. It's ridiculous.
The left also conveniently overlooks, when you look at the actual administration, it was George W. Bush that had the most diversity.
Right.
And putting people that are, minorities in really, really high positions. But again, that's not counted as historic because they didn't have the right political view. Here, would you like to hear our vice president talk to us about the climate crisis?
Yeah, I would. She's on top of
one
that.
One C there. We really enjoyed watching the World Economic Forum and their discussion of saving the planet. That's been a party for all of us. So now, once again, end of time climate crisis, the vice president, Kamala Harris, well, now she's going to talk about the issues that are present in the climate crisis. Here we go.
In particular, in dealing with the various issues that are present when we look at the climate crisis, thinking about water policy, diversifying water policy, understanding that we must have the ability to diversify our approach and the resources. to everything from what we do in terms of conservation to recycling, desalination, and storage of water. This plant and this facility in particular is doing some of the smartest and the most contemporary kind of work that is necessary to store water, understanding that the climate crisis presents exactly what we've experienced here in California. We're going to have days, and sometimes there will be days of immense water, of rain, of storms, of flooding, and at the same time we are a state that has experienced for generations drought. And we must therefore understand that the issues that are present in the climate crisis are varied, and it requires us to be present and to be in front of each of the iterations and variations that include extreme weather that produces a lot of water and extreme weather that produces drought.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Dan.
All right.
Bob is just staring at the wall.
Weather that's produced a lot of water and weather that produces drought been happening a long time. I mean, a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, long, long time. Long time. Have you noticed that a lot of times they're just words? They just love a word sandwich.
They do.
I mean, just.
I guess she had to get up and make
that
a speech. I don't know.
But,
I mean, I think she could have said what she said with about a quarter of the words, and it still wouldn't have made any sense.
Do you think she's really understood that as long as we've had water plants, their whole role was to store water and
pretty much, right?
To clean water and to diversify how we clean and get water to people?
There's something about her speeches. I don't know.
Water plants are not exactly cutting edge to fight climate crisis. Crisis, too. They love the word crisis.
Love it.
It is a crisis.
Well, there's love crisis it. Around every corner. Right?
Right. I mean, everywhere you look, here a crisis, there a crisis, everywhere a crisis, crisis. but to me, we never quite get up the courage to ask them, with all their fear-mongering, why do we continue to be in these crises even when you take charge? I thought you scared us to elect y'all to solve them, but y'all never solve them because you keep telling us they're still there.
There's always one more election that they're needed. You forget. Yeah,
right. Well, I know I feel very, very at peace with this current administration, knowing that they are taking on all the various crises that are out there.
Yeah, and don't forget, trying to kill gas stoves. Mm.
They're really on board with that right now, aren't they? That's their new thing.
I'd almost make a deal with them. If we kill gas stoves and in 1 year we couldn't see a dramatic change in the weather, that they have to all quit. I'd almost make that deal with them. And they wouldn't make that deal because they know it ain't going to matter.
No, they're not going to make that deal. But
they just want to be in charge and boss everybody around.
So there you go. There's
make the wackos happy.
And speaking of the gas stoves thing, the newest thing is showing Democrats cooking on gas stoves gas grills while they try to ban gas stoves and gas grills.
Yeah, here's the governor of New York who was all about it, and here she is cooking out with her gas grill.
Of course. Again, I miss.
Now, they would probably get a pass on that, Rick, because they have some kind of green credit or they planted a tree. Yeah.
Well, remember, they got a pass on being able to have dinner in big crowds and not wear a mask.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Remember
Gavin
that?
Gavin Newsom, too. Yeah.
Right, which means they must not think the mask is really necessary. They wouldn't put their family and friends in danger. But you got to learn to read that.
Well, how can
critical
she
thing.
Listen,
think for
how,
yourself.
Think how can she stand? Because she is very important. She's the governor of New York. How can she stand over that gas grill with all the harmful chemicals coming out of it? Mm. I mean, we got a list the other day. You'd think you were in a
Is that the narrative? I lost the narrative. Why are we scared of gas grills?
I thought it was just gas in the house. What are we afraid of now?
What are we afraid of now?
Well, there's all kind of chemicals that come
asthma
off of these.
Asthma in children.
And it, when it burns. And
all this.
And we finally had one the other day that actually said what it was all about. They said, and this is a third of what's causing the global warming. They finally got to that?
Yeah,
they had one spew that out the other day. And you know everybody went to cover going, no, we're supposed to be taking care of the kids.
Yeah, just like on that.
If you notice, they care about kids a lot unless they are not born.
That's right.
Yeah. You know?
Now, if you're still in that womb, good luck to you.
Yeah.
But
Up to the last day.
Right, yes.
Or now, if you're born.
Yeah. You know? Have you noticed the story out there they're trying to cover with everything they can right now? Did y'all see that one, the same-sex couple and the children they adopted.
Yeah, how about that?
What they were doing with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dark.
Now
you can't find that story.
And what I would say is that does not mean that everybody who is, you know, same gender or evil people doesn't mean that at all. But we also should not report it because we think it might.
Yeah.
You know, we shouldn't protect any evil people, whether they're heterosexual, homosexual, or whatever they may declare.
I mean, these people don't represent that whole community.
No.
Right? Nobody says
but if they're doing something evil, you also don't hide the story over preference either.
That's right.
No. You report it all. Bottom of the hour. Your phone calls are next. 866-WE-BE-BIG. More Rick and Bubba next.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Bob in Alabama. Hello. Hey, Bob.
Hey, how you doing?
We're good, man.
Man, it's good talking to y'all. This is my favorite talk show every morning.
Thank you very much.
You cover everything that everybody likes to hear, you know.
We hit it all. I mean, when people ask,
the back porch format.
Where Seinfeld's a show about nothing, we're a show about anything. But isn't that how all of our conversations go in real life?
Yes, sir. That's actually how it is.
Yep. So anything on your mind?
Oh, man, I want to talk about that football game last night. Cowboys and the 49ers.
Yeah, let's keep bringing
it up. Cowboys.
Well, did your team win? Who were you pulling for?
Obviously, he's pulling for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Because he was down about it.
He seemed a little down. Bo Buzzer got you. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah. And I didn't want to talk about the Cowboys. So I let it go. That's why I didn't get the time.
So are you to the point – I know we kid around a lot on the show, but are you to the point it even bothers you anymore, really? What's left?
I'd like to have seen that win. Okay. I'd like to have been going in the next couple of weeks with them having a chance. I'll be honest.
I didn't
stay up and watch it, but when I went to bed – I mean, when I got up this morning and I looked at the score, I was disappointed.
Can I try this too? Since you know I don't know how much of it you watch, but if you have a team you care about, it almost gives you something like, okay, well, I'll be interested in a game, so that'll give me something to kind of look forward to.
Yeah.
And when they're gone, you're like, now I got to really work harder to get interested. Is that what it is?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I was thinking a couple weeks ahead when maybe Super Bowl is about to be here, and I'm thinking, okay, I'll dial into this, and now I won't. I'll be like, eh, I'll watch it.
Right.
For the commercials and hang out with the family.
These Final Four don't really.
It doesn't interest me at all. Now, I think the Joe Burrow deal does. Kansas City's always fun to watch.
Yeah, but I'm tired of them.
I am too.
I mean, they've been to the AFC Championship, what, 5 years in a row?
Yes.
Yeah. I think I'm going to become a Kansas City fan.
You do, Bubba, though.
That'll be it.
Look out.
I need to pick the new, what's going to be the new team coming up?
Mahomes' ankle.
I'm telling you,
didn't look good.
Sprain now. So let me ask you this:
and they take a long time.
By the way,
to get over.
I find myself being a closeted Jaguars fan too for some reason.
Really?
Yeah.
This point,
you know,
4 years.
I know.
There's something about their uniforms. I just can't. I don't know what
it is. I'm the opposite. I like it.
I like it too.
So of the four left, and none of us have our favorite teams in there. What do we want to see on Super Bowl Sunday that will keep us interested? What matchup?
Well,
we
a close game that's, you know, got some explosive plays in it.
Something about the Eagles bores me.
Does it?
This year I feel a little bit, but you're right.
Just the franchise. Yeah. I'm not saying this team. This team, I understand, is very good.
Yeah.
But the franchise never has really drawn me in.
The uniforms are not grabbers for me.
Boy, the fans get it cranked up.
Yeah. You're right about that. I love their
good
fans.
Good for them.
So we like to see 49ers versus Bengals. Is that what we want? Remember, we had that way back in the 80s.
I'd like to see the Chiefs in there.
You want to see Kansas City against Philadelphia?
As much as I'm done with
San Francisco. I think that's a better story.
Kansas City versus San Francisco?
Yeah.
Now, you know, you have to be careful.
You got Purdy.
Be careful. You know. Be careful of that pumpkin showing up with third stringer. You know what I mean? It's a heartwarming story, but sometimes those heartwarming stories, they end real bad.
I want Philly, Cincinnati.
That's it, yeah.
That's the two I want.
All right, we'll be back.
That'd be good.
Bubba, did you get an invitation to Buzz Aldrin's wedding?
I did not. It was his fourth wedding.
Okay.
He's 93 years old, Rick.
93.
And he got married. He married a youngster. She's only 63.
Oh, wow. 30 years younger. So he's been.
I'll try this name, Speedy. Annika Farr? Would you say that way?
I don't know. There's an Annika. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's not an Anna. It's Anka.
Anka?
Anka. Well, yeah. I'm not familiar with that name.
Or Anka. Anka? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not sure.
Anka Four. Mm-hmm. Rick, as I said, fourth wife. He was married from 1954 to 1974 with three kids with his first wife. Then married from 75 to 78, 3 years with his second wife. His third wife from 88 to 2012, 24 years.
There you go.
So he's had quite a run there a couple of times. Had one there 3 years. That was, I guess that was kind of a short one. But how about you married 20 and 24? And you're on number three or four in this case.
Right. So did the wife before this one, the one that had the longest run, did she pass? Or did they just did they divorce?
I don't know.
Age well.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. It's probably in here. Let me look. See.
Mm-hmm. Notice Buzz's shoes.
I did. That's one of the first thing.
Yeah. He's look at this point. This is what I'm. Well, you know.
Yeah. Maybe he went hiking beforehand.
You know what? It's all about comfort. Now he's 93.
What if he got married? You're telling what to wear? And he said those were the boots he wore on Apollo 11.
That's funny.
Well. You know, it's kind of strange too. He's.
I wonder if he sang to her.
He's one of the more colorful astronauts we've had. Second man to walk on the moon, and he's, you know, his two other crewmates have already passed. So he's the only one left from that first flight.
93.
Yep.
Do you guys want to see him punch a moon truther in the face?
Oh yeah, you remember?
Oh, of course.
He didn't like you accusing him of not going to the moon.
Well, no. Would you like it?
No.
You put your life on the line, and people saying it was all done in a Hollywood studio. Would you like that? I wouldn't.
Buzz
like
really
it.
Didn't like it.
No. Oh, yeah.
Come with me, Buzz.
You really like it, don't you?
You're the one who said you walked on the moon when you didn't. Calling the kettle black, if I ever thought of it. Saying
will
I misrepresented
get it
myself.
Away from me.
You're a coward and a liar and a thief.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh. Let me tell you something. I like that. Yeah, I like that.
That's right.
That, yeah. That I like that right there.
A little punk.
That's a pretty good
a
right.
For
how old is he there? How old is he there?
And a thief.
I think he was like 90 or something like that.
I love it.
It's a pretty good right. Did he say and a thief and get hit while he was saying thief? And a thief.
Young punk trying to get in his face.
I mean, yeah, he did.
What are you going to do to Buzz?
If more young punks being disrespectful to the elders would get punched like that, we have a lot less.
Awesome. Yeah.
Now well, that guy, he'll think twice about mouthing off to somebody.
He will.
I mean,
we may not like that, but that's the truth.
Yeah,
he will.
I bet mouthing off suddenly became a lot less fun.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll think twice.
He will.
Or at least he'll get his blocking arm up.
Right. Okay, he might have been more in his like late 70s when that
but
happened.
Still.
Nice.
I like it.
And a thief. And a thief.
Get thief out.
And a boom.
That guy thought he had something looking down at him.
So you got to remember, too, I mean, all these guys most of them were military guys. They were test pilots. Mm-hmm. You know, they literally put their life on the line more than once. I mean, the Apollo 11 wasn't his first flight. So, you know, they strapped into those rockets. And, I mean, it takes a special type to do that. And I don't think I'd want to get in their face and tell them they didn't go and they were a liar.
Yeah.
Doesn't think it happened, he's certainly welcome to his opinion. But
sure.
I don't think I'd get in his face and be all about it.
Yeah, can we please play this?
What is this?
Remember, he tried to be a rap dog.
I tell a story about my time on the moon now. The sky was black, even though the sun shined on. Moonwalking such a trip, it's so fine when you're walking in the lunar dust. It took us 4 days riding on a rocket to set foot for the very first time.
Don't do that to a legend. You know, we don't do
this. Peace for all mankind.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine a place above the sky.
Okay, I can't. I'm so sorry.
Right. You know what? I love that Buzz.
Let's go back to punching that jerk.
Buzz enjoys himself, you know? Do you remember he also got in a fisticuff at an airline counter?
He sure did.
Remember that?
Oh, that's right.
He was in a wheelchair.
Yeah,
he was.
He keeps getting married. He's going to get back in a wheelchair.
Yeah. That guy did kind of get all up in his grill.
Oh, he did. Like, hey, he called him a liar and everything. What do you expect?
Yeah. Boom.
Ooh. I love it.
And a thief.
Well, this goes back to some of these. And I saw the quote over the weekend. I can't remember who he credited it to.
when they said, imagine if people were as bold and courageous as they pretend to be on Twitter, we'd probably live in a different world. Yeah. It's a little different when you're putting out mean tweets about somebody than you go up to their face and,
yeah.
You,
uh-huh.
and there ain't nothing between you but air and opportunity.
He's going to call him out.
Well,
he was
well, it's one of those things. If you want to come say something to somebody, you have to ask, is it worth it? Yeah. Is it worth getting that rear end spanked? And sometimes it is, sometimes it's not.
Rick, mm-hmm. several fouls here. He got in his personal space. He Big called time. Him a liar and just started all that, too. I mean, he didn't even do it the right way. So, you know, he got what he had coming to him, the way I look at it.
And his whole premise from him being this is that he said it was all fake.
Yeah, yeah it didn't go to the moon.
And he was a liar and all that.
Greg.
That remains to be seen, but you don't disrespect.
I just... Look, an older guy being disrespected by some young...
And look, he's going to get in his face.
And
you don't get in anybody's face. That's asking for a punch.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well, you might as well put a dot and say, hit the dot here. You know? Yeah.
There's a time when a punch is not correct and not called for. And then there's times it just kind of is.
Yeah.
And that's one of those where that guy got what was coming.
He did.
Because you know how he could have lived his life that day not getting punched by a former astronaut? Is don't go up in his grill.
If I can smell your breath, you're too close.
Even if he disagreed with him, he could have probably had that discussion with him, but not do it in the way he did.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what invited the punch.
Yeah, he could.
In that personal space,
he could have walked up and said, "Hey, I've always wanted to ask one of you guys. I mean, I tend to believe that y'all really didn't go to the moon. I don't mean any disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know I don't know how you can say that and not mean any disrespect." But, you know.
But what's his evidence? Yeah, what's his evidence?
Right, but walking up and getting up in Internet. Somebody's face saying, I'm about to put you in your place in front of everybody, and you don't even know me?
Yeah. You're going to get that eye dotted.
You must not know about me.
Bubba, what,
I wish you'd knock it clean out. Uh-huh.
What is your favorite? Who is your favorite astronaut
of all time? Oh, I've had a bunch of them.
Right, but who's your favorite? Do you have one?
Alan Shepard, clearly.
Buzz is hard to look over. I mean, he because of all the things he's done, he's had so much fun, you know. He's had problems. He was an alcoholic at one time too. After they got back, I heard him talking about that. I think on Oprah one time.
Interesting.
And he said he kind of had a nervous breakdown. I think with it because he said he was walking out to get the newspaper and looked up and saw the full moon and So I was there and I walked there and I came back and I'm still in one piece and
got him to drink.
It was almost too much. Good.
Or was it the fact he's had to tell that lie all these years?
Yeah.
Too much stress.
Greg.
Bubba's having tested.
Greg.
It's not good.
I don't want Buzz to come in here and punch
you. No, he would. Like, I wouldn't
I know Alan Shepard would.
He'd punch you. That's Bubba's buddy.
Well, he's all business.
He's all business.
Put him and Carl P. in the same sand. Shake them up.
Oh, man. Kidding me?
Well, I have to say all-time favorite astronaut will be Doug Wheelock.
Oh, yeah. That's everybody's favorite.
So he got us an interview with them in orbit. So,
how do you pass that?
What about that ball-headed twin? What's his name?
Well, you mean the senator now?
Yeah, Big Lib.
We'll be right back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Well, this is comes from our British brothers and sisters, but our country in America trying to figure all this out, too. I hate to break it to all of the woke all over the world and here in the West. If I could just give everybody a heads up, some of this stuff we're trying to do, you're going to have a really hard time being consistent when you go down some of these roads. And that, of course, deals once again with something as simple as gender. So the Brit Awards, now I'm just going to read you the exact quote, and you can hear from artist Sam Smith why this road to no genders is going to be a difficult road to navigate, even for the woke. You may have outwoken your woke, because perfect example in our country is the first female vice president. Well, to celebrate that, there would need to be a desire for gender. We'd have to say that male and female, if gender is neutral and gender should not be discussed and we hurt people's feelings by talking about gender, then we really can't celebrate female accomplishments without acknowledging male and female. Would everybody say that was...
Yep.
Hello?
Yep. Right.
Now, you can't have it both ways is what you're saying, and that's what they're trying to do.
Well, listen to Sammy walk into his own trap here. Artist Sam Smith, this is the world you now live in, okay?
Artist Sam Smith called for the Brit Awards to go gender neutral. Okay, so let's stay there. I believe that these awards should be gender neutral. We're not going to do male artists, female artists. We're going to go gender neutral, artist only. But then turns right around and says it's a shame there's no women nominated this year.
Does he know how stupid
what
that sounds?
What in the world? What are we supposed to do with that?
Wow.
I don't have you ever
Rick, I don't think we can make this guy happy.
Yeah.
Here's what you're going to find.
Is it guy?
Some of you,
am I wrong?
Yeah,
no, you're good.
No, guy.
I
well,
I don't know what his pronouns are.
No, Greg,
are.
He may say no. He may say he is no gender.
I don't know.
But Sam Smith is complaining that the awards aren't gender neutral. And then complain that no women are nominated for the big awards. I don't know how to break it to Sam, especially in athletics. If you go gender neutral and you do not separate male and female, and a lot of things, not so much in entertainment, so I'm not saying that, but in athletics.
Yeah, it's a huge difference.
Women are going to vanish from the landscape of athletics.
Well, let me ask you this. Why is it so negative to have female artist of the year or male artist of the year or female, you know, top song or male top song? I mean, they sound different. And, I mean, do we have to just put everything together? Does that make it better somehow?
I don't think it does because, keep in mind.
Do you think they maybe had it that way? If we go back and search this and I haven't, I don't know. I bet at one time a lot of these award shows had that, and they split it into male and female because enough females were not winning.
But think about this. Think about what he's saying.
But yeah.
If the Brit Awards goes gender neutral, then you can never say it's a shame that no women were nominated because there should never be women nominated if there are no genders.
Yeah.
You're just saying artists were nominated, and you can't even say we ignored women as artists because you said we can't acknowledge they're women.
Yeah.
So we're just saying here's the artist that we nominate, and then he goes, well, I'll tell you one thing. When I saw that list, there's too many. And you almost freeze and go, I almost said too many men. Yeah, I thought they didn't have a gender, so they're just artists. So how can you ever separate. Complain that anybody was overlooked?
If they're all
they're not
neutral.
Being overlooked. They're just artists. Who are we overlooking? Well, you know those other ones. Which ones? I thought an artist is an artist. I thought there's no male, there's no female. That's what you said you wanted. Yeah, but I don't like that there's none of those, you know. What do you mean? Tell us, Sam. Women! Oh, well, so there is gender.
Mm-hmm.
We've ignored women. Women, I thought they were all artists. No one's being ignored. They're just all a bunch of artists.
Yeah.
And some artists got nominated, some artists didn't.
Yeah, so Sam does identify as non-binary.
Yes.
And Adele won the first.
So that means he ain't neither, nothing.
Right. And yes. Adele won the first gender-neutral award category in 2022, but they can't get on the same page because in her acceptance, she said she was really proud of women in it. But then it goes on to say what you've said, Rick.
Yeah, you can't.
And that is the gender-neutral category. Is a shame because there's not enough women represented. But he also said that, and listen to this, he appeared to call for the awards to be given an underrepresented groups more acknowledgement in order to inspire
what
the audiences
groups?
Rather than praise achievement.
I don't even see
what?
I don't even know what that means. This is a guy who says he has no gender. But
he's put a little weight on.
Let's start
too,
there.
Man.
Well, but, you remember he lost a bunch and he couldn't maintain.
Let's say today. You know,
Adele you're thinking of.
That
right?
picture.
No,
him.
He did lose a
no,
bunch.
No, that picture of him does not look like this picture on the story today.
No. He lost a lot of weight.
He's giving up, guys. He's
here's when
up.
He lost the weight right there.
Yeah, Adler look.
So he's sitting
pretty,
pretty
slim there.
Yeah. There you go.
So he can't. You can't have
all
it.
Over the road.
You can't have it both ways.
Right.
And he's trying to have it both ways and then have it no ways.
Rick, I mean, are you talking about confusion?
Right.
Why can't
feelings without logic is out of control.
And it really is this bad. What if you came over to my house and you surprise visited and y'all said to Sherry, where's Rick? Said, well, he's out in the garage. And you think, oh, he's tinkering around. But then you think, well, he's not handy. He can't be tinkering around. And she says, well, you know, he's identifying as an automobile now. And you said what? And you said he goes and stands in the garage, and he said he thinks that makes him.
You know, this sounds outrageous, but it's really not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And y'all walk out there, and I'm just standing over on one of the slots, and you're like, Rick, and I'm like, yeah. And they go, why are you here? Because I'm a car. What made your car? That I decided to stand in the garage. I decided to stand in the garage every day.
That's where cars
and
go.
Identify as cars. So all I got to do is stand in the garage over in this slot where a car goes, and now I'm a car.
I hope I didn't have to tell you you're leaking oil.
Right.
Oh, been standing there too long.
Right. Then we get to gender.
Yeah.
So it's
leaking.
It's okay for some of us to be adults and say, stop.
Yeah. Okay. Enough.
I don't know what it is with the woke and their obsession.
Limitless.
With overplaying their hand. Just settle down. If you want to be whatever you want to be in your private life, man, and you're not harming anybody, I wish you nothing but the best. I certainly would disagree with some things that I think would be for your own good, but I can't make you. You're an adult. But when you start demanding that the rest of society go along with what sounds like children pretending, we just can't.
Well, we need a few more adults to stand up and say, no, we're not going to do that. Yeah. You're not going to say that. You're not going to call it that. No.
Yeah, Adele lost the weight, but it looks like Sam Smith found it.
Yes.
All right, so Bubba, Prince Harry just keeps – he just can't win friends, can he? I mean, can't do it.
You've seen people where it looks like they're driving at a high speed headed toward a pine tree.
Yep.
And you want to help them, but they can't.
They can't
help themselves.
They're not coachable.
Prince Harry has been driving off a cliff for quite some time.
He really has.
And this book that he had come out, Spare, has not helped any.
No. Didn't it break all kinds of records on copies sold?
I'm sure.
Making a lot of money.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
The amount of copies
they've
sold.
Of course. People love to hear one of the Royals trash.
Well, did people really buy it, or did he buy it?
No, who knows?
What's going on there?
Yeah. I know authors will do that sometimes.
They
drive their stuff to the top.
They do. Mm-hmm. Rick, he's poking fun at Elvis Presley's home.
We just buried Lisa Marie.
It's a little gaudy.
We just buried Lisa Marie.
Yeah,
we don't need some Brit.
Give
come
us
over
a week.
Here and get and do redneck humor on us.
Yeah.
Okay. He had some money, and when next get money, this is how we decorate.
Well, what about the old creepy places they live in, the Royals?
There you go.
In his autobiography, Prince Harry described being unimpressed with Graceland, the former home of Elvis Presley. He said, people call the house a castle, a mansion, a palace, but it reminded me of a badger set.
What does that mean?
That's some kind of British.
Is that an English thing?
It reminded me of a badger set. Some kind of British cut down, I guess.
This is like a badger set.
He said it was dark, claustrophobic. I was walking around saying the king lived here. You say, really?
Does he? Greg's point. You ever seen those nasty palaces?
They're big.
Mm-hmm. They are big, but they're old. They dark. They drafty.
Oh yeah.
Haunted.
He went on to say, that
not a lot
like
of joy in there.
None.
The decorator was on acid.
You know,
that's possible.
At least Elvis sold records and made deals to buy his house, his palace,
yeah,
his castle. Unlike Harry and his family, who all took it from people.
There you go. And now Bubba's mad.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, is
yeah,
he or
Elvis
not?
Yeah, Elvis built his empire.
How did the queen get all of her money?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, look at him looking around.
No, I'm just asking. How did
OPM,
it happen?
Bubba.
Mm-hmm. Did she design a product that the Brits had to have? Or did they take it from them at the end of a spear? Well, I think it'd be number two.
Right. I don't believe they went out to the free market and worked hard and made their own money.
Yeah, Bloody Mary didn't have a record of hits,
Oh, here we go. Well, not musically anyway.
No, it was heads hitting the ground.
Right, I was about to say.
If I had all that in my background, I think I'd just hush.
Yeah, where is that? Where is that voice in Harry's life? This is Harry reminding Harry to shut up.
Yeah.
I mean, where is that? I know I haven't listened to
he's married old crazy, and that I think, this hasn't helped any.
No.
I mean, he already had a hang up about being a spare.
Do you think he's kind of also maybe not all that swooped, like we would say in Calhoun County, that he didn't realize that we're, the king of rock and roll isn't really a king. That, like, no, that, that's not what we're talking about. Right? Does he not know that?
Well, I don't. Does we don't have. This is what I think.
So you think.
I
think he's our monarch.
I think he's taking exception to people calling Elvis the king because he's like he's not a real king. Yeah. We're the kings.
Now,
while we got the palaces, this ain't a palace.
Now, at the same time, though, trashing that world.
I know.
I mean, and then he gets all snooty about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
don't want to be a part of it, but yeah, he kind of likes the.
I tell you what, he likes is that stopping.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't get one from me. Mm. Go and trash me. My kids all know you can trash me, but not on my dime.
Yes. Well, now that he's got this money from all this books and documentaries, I'm sure he got paid for them. Is he going to keep living in like celebrities' houses, or is he going to get his own? Because for a while there, he's living in Tyler Perry's house or something.
I don't know.
Everybody just, you know, he don't mind freeloading at all.
Why do we care about these freeloaders?
I don't get it.
It's weird to me.
That's a great question. His book is one of the best sellers of the past decade.
Yeah.
Not this year, the last decade.
Who is buying that? Who wants
people
to
who love
that?
Gossip. People who love gossip. Oh, look, if you've got somebody out there, I can see if you're into the Royals and that's your thing.
Yeah.
It's not my thing, but if it's your thing and you got one that's going to go out there and be a tattletale, you can't wait to read it.
You know, I heard some commentary on this about why everybody's so intrigued with
him. I'm glad he didn't say something to Buzz Aldrin.
Took a poke at him.
A lot of people thought it went back to Princess Diana and when he was a kid and the way people remember him and they want to stay up to date with him and what's going on with him. But there's really a lot of confusion as to why someone would buy that book. But to some people, it's just like so intriguing and they're all about it and the royal family.
I'm really not
loved Princess Diana and all that. So that's a lot of
the reason can love Princess Diana, but what has happened? I mean, if you love Princess Diana, you should be fed up with the royals because that system basically chewed her up.
Yeah,
which is why
threw her out.
Which is why all their fans probably want to read this. Her fans, but when you see it is kind of odd because
crazy
when you see people you know like lined up for miles and people who you know wouldn't get up at an hour to go to work but they'll get up in an hour to watch these weddings is you wonder, but he's trashing the thing that you love.
Right.
So are you about the book? I would think the people about the book are the ones that think Princess Diana and him and all of them were mistreated by the royals, and they want to see him talking about it, right? That'd be the audience. And there's a lot of those. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of people. I mean, it's a big number. I mean, the royals, they got fans. I mean, you talk about you know how they were influencers
like
long before they were influencers. Yeah, somebody said, there's a bunch of your tribe that'll buy this book if we can get you. If I was a publisher, I'd sign him at the drop of a hat.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to move some books.
Yeah.
Because he's got an audience that's going to go get it.
Yeah.
And the proof's in the pudding.
Well, I think his popularity is nosediving, though.
Yeah, but there's that
move
car wreck mentality.
Move after move.
There's that car wreck mentality. I want to hear what he has to say because I'm.
Even if I don't like him, I want to hear it.
Yeah. It's why I'm looking at the car wreck over here. I can't take my eyes off of it.
Yeah.
I just. You know, I've never found fascination with the royals.
No, we don't get it, but there's a lot out there that are into it.
Yeah.
It's not our thing, but, buddy, I've seen people packed out to see them.
Oh, yeah.
And they can't wait for the latest thing. So if you want to sell books, he's probably a good choice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm. But the
– I need a little trash. So but I push his book.
But he is hard to like. I mean, just – boy, you somebody was where are they? They don't have those people go. I don't trash Graceland. That's going to come out bad.
Yeah,
you know, don't do that. If you're trying to win some people over, but what he thinks is those of you that love Graceland, y'all are so y'all shouldn't be allowed to even dust his feet.
Yeah, look, the Jungle Room's a little gaudy. We get that.
The Jungle Room is gaudy, but doggone it, Elvis was a gaudy, and that. Like I said, when necks get money, we go a little gaudy.
That's
who we are.
This was way back in the different.
At least we, to your point, at least we pay for it ourselves.
Yeah.
At least Elvis earned that money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
What Colonel Tom let him have.
Right. Playing for a guitar, man.
Right. We'll get a little gaudy.
Yeah, we'll put some
But at least it's our money.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We'll go with some animal prints.
We'll put the Velvet Bull and the Matador up.
Absolutely, we will.
Let us trash us. Uh-huh. You don't trash
That's
us.
That's right.
Well, it's just like him when he was dogging everybody on the global warming.
Come on.
He's been catered around in limousines and flown on private jets his whole life. If anybody's to blame for global warming, you would put the royal family at the head of the class.
Of course you would.
They ain't enough trees they can plant in Brazil to make up for that carbon footprint.
Don't talk down his nose about Graceland. Come on.
I am unimpressed.
They said there's a pastor in Arkansas really mad about it.
Oh, that's good.
Hey, it's Rick and Bubba inviting you to tomorrow's Rick and Bubba Show.
Rick, it'll be a big and busy show as always. We'll get you all the headlines you need to know about. Dan Moultrie will come in from the great outdoors to share some info with us.
And an opportunity for you to win something cool tomorrow on the Rick and Bubba Show. Thanks for listening to the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
To catch the entire show and for all things Rick and Bubba, go to rickandbubba.com, spell out AIM.
Lord willing, we will catch you on the next edition of the Rick and Bubba Show.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.